Well, good morning. We definitely are grateful for Lynn's mom, Hesty, who flew in from California, the San Joaquin Valley there, Modesto, California. She flew in to spend 10, 11 days with us, Christmas. And so let's give her a hand, y'all. How about that, huh? Yay! Thank you for everyone singing. It was good to have a Christmas song. Thank you, Gary, for thinking about that. And definitely one of our piggyback off what Lynn said about the Christmas musical tonight. So I want to encourage you guys to show up and let's exalt the name of Jesus. Let's lift up his holy name during this Christmas time for sure. We need a few key players. If you don't mind doing a little acting, you don't have to say anything. You just have to come up and follow directions. Is that cool? So let's do that. And let's go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 1 through 7. Romans chapter 1, 1 through 7. Let's pray first. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time together, as always. I love you. Thank you for our church family. Lord, we pray for the ones that maybe is not here this morning, and traveling during the different seasons. Lord, I pray for the word today, Lord, that you'll help me teach and preach what you put on my heart. That it'll be a blessing to all of us. We give it all over to you. Just give it to you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Romans chapter 1, verse 1 through 7. Let's read. It says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God, with power according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody say amen? Did we forget Children's Church? Or we? Yep, sorry about that. Do not depend on me or Miss Elaine anymore. Sorry about that. Children's Church, we need a whistle to blow. Or a bell to ring. I want to be a bell ringer. Sorry, guys. Children's Church. There you go. Heard a little bit of the word this morning. Romans chapter 1, verse 1 through 7. All right, so we're going to take a little look at short look at the book of Romans. And the book of Romans is rich in practical truths that tell us how to live God's way. And that's the title of the sermon this morning, is how to live God's way. And Paul wrote this letter somewhere around A.D. 57, somewhere around there, basically on his third missionary journey. And this is the first doctrinal book of the New Testament, follows the five historical books, which we all know as the four Gospels that records the life of Christ, followed by Acts that tells us about the early church. Now, all of the books in the New Testament, Romans gives us the most complete presentation of the gospel that was preached by the apostles. Romans enables us to see our world through God's eyes. And basically it gives God an opportunity to teach us how to live His way. How many is interested in living God's way? You know, I tried it my way for a while and didn't work out too good. So I'm definitely interested in learning how to live God's way. And the book of Romans really lays it out very nice. As our culture, especially around the world, you don't need me to tell you this, but as our culture continually changes, we desperately need this unchanging, timeless truth of this epistle. Again, we're talking about Romans. It is God's everlasting word that tells us, you ready? God's word tells us what is eternally right and eternally wrong. It's what teaches us what's true and what's false. And how desperately we need that in the world today. 1 Peter 1, 2, and 5 says this, and it's basically a quote from Isaiah 40. It says, "But the word of the Lord endures forever." Now, this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Amen? The book of Romans has probably touched more people throughout the years than any single book of the Bible. So if you've never really put a study into the book of Romans, I highly encourage you to do that. I'd say most people have read through it here and there, but if you really want to jumpstart a really awesome, like a Bible study just for yourself, maybe at the beginning of the year in January, check out the book of Romans, get you a good commentary and a good study Bible, and just dive off into Romans in your own personal study time. It will completely change your life. I really believe that. It was the book of Romans that transformed the life of Augustine, which was a brilliant theologian back in the 5th century. He was probably, I would say, this is my own opinion here now, but probably one of the five, pillars of Christian theology. He was a giant. And also it impacted John Wesley and John Bunyan. These are all famous theologians back in the day. Now, anybody ever been to St. Simon's Island? Ever been to Epworth by the Sea? If you've never been there, it's awesome, isn't it? You can go. It's a Methodist campground and a Methodist retreat. But you can go. You can go, like the ladies want to get together. You can go there and stay. You get a big discount. Pastors, you know, ministers, those folks can get huge discounts. It's right on the ocean there. And if you're interested in church history, they have a great museum there. It's all about John Wesley. I spent like an hour, a whole day. I mean, you can just spend tons and tons of hours in there learning about John Wesley and the history of the Methodist Church and that kind of thing. So Epworth by the Sea is definitely something you might want to check out if you're interested in that. That's a side note. Sorry. Until Jesus returns, God will continue to use the book of Romans to change people's lives. It changed my life. I mean, thousands and thousands of Christians over the years come to know Christ through the Roman roads. Anybody remember that back in the day? The Roman road, just taking people through the Roman road. Romans chapter 1 verse 17 says this, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." Amen? It was from this phrase that Martin Luther recovered the doctrine of salvation by faith. What was it, 400 or 500 years? What was it, Paul? I think we just celebrated the 500 year, right? Which led to the Protestant Reformation, which is basically why we're all here today. It really is all summed up in the book of Romans about the just shall live by faith. Now, I'm thirsty. Too much ham. You know what I'm saying? That salty ham. How many ate good at Thanksgiving? Praise the Lord, right? I ate too much. I'm going home for leftovers today. That's okay. I'm not going to get sidetracked with food, Adam. Right? I'm sorry. I don't know why I picked on Adam so much. I left Glenn alone for a while, and then I went to Adam. I'm going to jump on somebody else, all right? Three things. Everybody say three. Three things we want to talk about in this Bible scripture today. And these are the things that I feel like God is calling us to be. Three things. One is servants. Two, solicitors. Three, saints. If you're taking notes, those are the three things that I believe that God's calling us to be in this scripture. Servants, solicitors, and saints. First, God is calling us to be servants. And I love this church because there's just so many of you who have such a servant's heart. And I thank God for that. The first verse, though, if you look at that first verse, it begins with Paul referring to himself as a bondservant. As a bondservant of Jesus Christ. Now, if you look that up in the Greek, right? New Testament basically written in Greek. If you look that up in the Greek, that word means slave. It means living and serving under a master. See, a lot of people don't want to do that, though. Especially, unbelievers. They don't want to do that. But even some Christian folks, they don't want to allow Christ to be the Lord of their life. That word Lord means boss, basically. Master. It is the idea of being totally at the service of another person. Now this happens, folks. This happens anyway. Just the way God set it up, it happens anyway. Either happens willingly or unwillingly. Actually, we're all slaves to something. And it could be healthy or unhealthy, right? Sometimes when I'm counseling young guys, they'll say something like this. I'll get off into counseling. I'll get into kind of career counseling. What do you want to be when you grow up? And they're 42 years old. But anyway, that's a side point. But a lot of times I'm talking to young guys and I say, and this is what they'll tell me. They'll say, I don't like people telling me what to do. So when I get out of here, I'm going to start my own business. That way no one can ever tell me what to do anymore. And some of you are laughing, right? And so I just chuckle with them and just say, oh, they're so naive, But I always go back and tell them, look, son, you're going to always answer to somebody. If you own your own business, you're going to answer to your customers. You're going to do what they tell you. You're going to do what they tell you to do. You're going to answer to probably your accountant, your CPA. You're going to definitely answer to the IRS, right, Ms. Bonnie? You're going to definitely answer to others, maybe your banker. But you're going to answer to people. We can't escape that. We all have to answer to someone. We're all slaves to something. Now, looking at this thing in a negative way, some folks are slaves to money. Nothing wrong with money. We all like money. Let's be real, right? You got to have it to function. But some folks are slaves to it. Some folks are slaves to their job or their career or their business or their relationships or drugs or sex or fear or anxiety or some other kind of vices. So be careful with this. You see, God really wants us to be slaves to Jesus Christ. He wants to be our Lord and our Master. Because that's really where we'll find peace. That's really where we'll find happiness. When we bow before the King and let Him give us direction with our life. Let Him give us guidance. Let Him counsel us. He knows what's best for us. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Very familiar scripture that most of us know. Jesus says, "Come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden." He said, "I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Another scripture is John 8:32. It says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. Y'all hang with me. When we come to Jesus, what does he give us rest from? What does Jesus set us free from? Exactly, whoever said that. Jesus says, whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin. It's John 8:34. If you are not a servant of Christ, you are a servant of sin. And the sin is whatever keeps us from living God's way. Talked about a little bit this morning about breaking that fellowship with God. The relationship, if you're born again Christian, that relationship is secure and sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. But that fellowship can be broken sometimes, most often always, when we sin. That fellowship. And when you're not living God's way, we have no rest. We have no peace. Paul also writes in verse 5 in this scripture, he's called to be an apostle. Now, what does the word apostle mean? The word apostle means someone that's sent forth with a message. God called Paul to make a difference in this world, and God's also calling us, each one of us, to make a difference in the world also. Ephesians 2:10 says this, for we, everybody say we. For we, as followers of Christ, are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in him. He created us to do good works. Before we were even born, he created the purpose in life that we were supposed to follow in his will. You see, some of you may not be called to be a pastor or minister or missionary, but like I've said 100 times, and I will say thousands of times more, that based on your personality and your gifts and your talents and your unique experiences, you are called to do something for God in this world. I truly believe that one from the bottom of my heart. Every single person listening to my voice right now, if you are a believer of Christ, you've been born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb, you have a calling on your life to do something for God. It doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are. The moment you stop serving God, you will start what? You want to guess? You'll start serving self. I'd encourage each one of you to think about your life. Think about your neighborhood, your job, your life in general. Think about it. Be strategic. Pray about it. Talk with others about it. And then find out what you can do for the kingdom of God, and then do it. Do it. Don't listen to the enemy that tells you, I can't do it because of this or this or this or this. No excuses. You can do something. Allow God to put that in your heart. It could be as simple as something we mentioned a couple weeks ago. Maybe you would be willing to mail a little card in the mail. Just put a little thinking about you card in the mail. Maybe it could be something like every Friday, I'm going to spend 30 minutes in prayer for the young people at my church. That's what I'm going to do. God's put that on my heart. So every Friday morning, I'm going to pray for 30 minutes, 15, 20, 30 minutes, just for the youth of my church. It could be something like that. It could be something easy, simple, but strategic. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide you in what He wants you to do for the kingdom of the world. For the whole world. For His kingdom. And it could be something even bigger, like teach a Sunday school class or start singing or whatever. Allow God to tell you what He would like for you to do. Paul also writes in this verse that he was separated. You see the verse? I didn't know it was up there. That's awesome. Separated. So everybody look up there. Say, look. Man, Pete, I'm a little slow, aren't I? Paul said he was separated. In other words, what that means in the Greek, it means set apart or mark off with a boundary. That's what Paul was saying. He's saying the same thing for us. As a born-again Christian, we are separated. And we're marked off with a boundary. It basically means separation from the sins of the world. To live God's way, there are certain things that we just cannot do. We have to make a conscious effort to say, I can't do this no more. I'm not going to go there anymore. And that's something you have to work out in your own heart. I'm not up here telling you what you can and can't do. Living God's way means there are moral boundaries that we cannot cross. The Holy Spirit will guide you, and He will use the Word of God to guide you. You see, Paul says he is separated unto the gospel of God. The word gospel, as we all knew, it means good news. And the good news is this. That God will forgive you of your sins, forgive us of our, and cleanse us from guilt, give us a divine purpose in life, and give us a home in heaven. God calls us and wants us to be set apart, to serve Him. You see, that's the first thing. God wants us to be servants. The second thing is God wants us to be solicitors. He wants us to be solicitors. God promised this good news all the way back through the Old Testament. He promised the good news, didn't He? Some of you are students of the Old Testament. He promised this good news. He promised it. You see, the gospel is not something that was accidentally thought up. The gospel is not something that Paul made up. The gospel is truly the fulfillment of many, many Old Testament prophecies. There are so many. I was looking some up and I was like, I can't get in all this. My sermon will be 45 minutes. So I just broke it down to one of my favorites. This is one of my favorite ones. Ready? It's Ezekiel 36, 26. He says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of you and give you the heart of flesh. If you look at that word flesh, it basically means like feelings and emotions and all this stuff of our soul. Jesus knows firsthand, doesn't He? He knows firsthand how it is to be a human on this planet. He understands our problems and our pain and our temptations and our struggles. Paul writes in verse 5. Here he says, this is what Paul says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to faith among all nations in His name. That's the scripture. Now listen to this. Grace refers to our salvation, and apostleship refers to our spiritual vocation. In other words, our purpose in life. Now don't throw me out when I say this, just hang with me and I'll explain. In a sense, we are all apostles. In other words, we're holy solicitors who we are called to go into the world, aren't we? So we really are. Paul's saying that God calls all Christians to share the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is patient toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's a great verse. That's a verse of hope. You see, guys, living God's way means we do everything we can to solicit people to the obedience of faith in Christ. See, we are first called to be servants, and then we're called to be solicitors. And the third is that God is calling us to be saints. Amen? Just look at that for a minute, and then we'll close. The original, think about this. The original destination of this letter was Rome, the capital of the Roman Empire. At that time, the largest city that they knew about in the world. Historians tell us that it was probably close to 1 million people. Rome was much like America today. Sexual immorality was rampant. Homosexuality and adultery was common. The Romans also trusted in their military to protect them against all their enemies. Rome's empire, the symbol of it, was an eagle. As we all know, on the right back side of the American dollar is the American symbol, the eagle. Benjamin Franklin, most of you know this, Benjamin Franklin wanted our national symbol to be a turkey. Remember that from school? Because eagles are really vultures. And he thought that that would send a really bad signal to the world. So I'm still glad it's an eagle, aren't you? And a turkey, you know. Rome is the ancient parallel of America. And we are headed down the same road of destruction, of implosion. Therefore, we as Americans, we as Pauline Baptist Church, because repentance needs to start at home, we must heed the warning of Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to all people. You see, guys, this letter was written to Roman believers in Christ who were called to be saints. Now you think about it, that Greek word saints, it means to be sanctified. Its same meaning means to be set apart for God's purpose. We just sang that in the song this morning about being sanctified. Every Christian is a saint. Every born again Christian washed in the blood of Jesus, biblically, the understanding is you are a saint set apart for God's purpose in the world. Now, I know that the next time that we talk to Pete over here, we could refer to him as Saint Pete. I'm not sure if Marianne would agree with that one, but anyway, it would be biblically correct. And you know, I'm feeling a little tongue-in-cheek here, but God calls us. In Scripture, Paul is saying that we are saints. We are washed in the blood of Jesus. Righteous. Paul also writes in verse 7 of the Scripture, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Now listen to this. He says that grace and peace are the cause and effect of salvation. We are saved by grace alone, And our salvation brings peace to our lives. Jesus says it real beautifully in John 14:27. Let me quote. He says, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." This is Jesus telling us this. He says the peace of Christ is an inner serenity. It's an inner serenity that the storms of life cannot take away. This is the peace that the Bible talks about that surpasses all understanding, that really only comes through a personal relationship in Christ. I'll say it again. Grace is the cause and peace is the effect of the salvation of Jesus Christ. For us as believers, peace is not an escape from problems and pain, but it's our inner calm. It's our inner calm that saturates our lives. Regardless of our struggles and trials, this is the peace that saturates us in our soul and gives us rest that Jesus was talking about. You see, that's God's desire for all of us. So He inspired Paul to write the book of Romans, that we might experience His grace and His peace. Think about Jesus' first words from John 20:19. After His resurrection, here's the first words, 20:19. This is Jesus. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut because the disciples were assembled in fear of the Jews, Jesus came in amongst them, stood in the midst, and said to them, "Peace be with you." Jesus came to this earth, died on the cross, was resurrected on the third day, not only that we might be saved by grace, but that we might also have His peace. In these verses, we find God calls us to spread this good news all throughout the Scriptures to our neighbors and our friends, our co-workers and our family members, our strangers we meet, people in our community and people around the world. God is calling us to be three things: solicitors, saints, and servants. Amen? So my encouragement for you, my motivation for you, my desire for you and me, is that you'll get along, pray, and ask the Holy Spirit, "What can I do for the kingdom of God? What can I do at Pauline Baptist Church? What can I do, whether it's really tiny, small, or something big, or anything in between?" Let's pray. Father, I thank You, Lord. Praise You. Give You honor. Lord, if there's one here today that's never made the decision to serve You, they're not born again. They're not washed in that old blood that flowed down the rugged cross. Father, they may not have a relationship with You. I pray, Lord, that they'll come down and talk with me. We can settle that this morning. There may be one that wants to join the church and join the fellowship here. That's awesome too, Lord. Let them come down and we'll talk about it. In Jesus' name, amen.